This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Jake doesn't have to work tonight because we're running the big NCAA championship game.
I would say it's nice, but I did have to completely throw off my sleeping arrangements to be here this
morning. I was
going to
say, man, once you work that night shift, it's a different world.
Yeah, on a normal day, I woke up about 43 minutes ago.
So. Well, then that's early.
Yeah, pretty much. That's a good day for me.
And get ready. The Florida Gators up against the Duke Blue Devils tonight. So get ready for, oh, wait a minute, 11-1 in the final, 114. The Houston Cougars up against the Florida Gators tonight.
That hurts.
We're going to talk about that collapse coming up in just a little bit. Right now, folks, the gut feeling out there, and it's weird because the gut feeling is just what everybody's reporting, and it's weird to me, Jake, to watch the way the reporting goes from, and it is, okay, they were just all in Colorado. Everybody was, the big Colorado Pro Day, well orchestrated by Dion to put his guys, you know, late and get them all going. So the general feeling now is, well, it's got to be one of these Colorado Buffaloes going number two. And we don't think it's going to be Sanders, basically. So yeah. Is it Hunter or is it then Abdul Carter? And the thought about Hunter that's so intriguing to me is this. He's 6 foot, 188 pounds, is what he's listed. Draft profile, 6 foot, 188 pounds. Abdul Carter, beast. What, 6'4", 6'5", 270. Should I have a hard time taking a 6 foot, 188 pound guy in the NFL?
I don't think that's much of a worry to me. Look at Malik Nabers last year. You like Malik Nabers?
I know. He's a stud.
6 foot, 200 pounds.
I know. But this sounds ridiculous. 188 and 200 is even a difference. I mean, that's a slight dude.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think he carries this, even the same weight as Malik Nabers, but you could put him in an offseason training program with an
NFL
team.
Give him a couple of milkshakes.
Yeah.
Have him hang out with you, me, Baskin, Menigan.
Yeah, well, he'll be putting on the wrong kind of weight. He hangs out with us. But, like, get him up from a 188 to, like, 190, 195 even.
Put more muscle on him.
Yeah, is that much of a worry to you? That, like, I had no questions about Malik Nabers.
I don't know. I'm perplexed by this. The draft profile that I love just looking at these things, I think they're a really interesting reference when it comes to these. And, you know, NFL.com has been looking at these guys for years, and they keep going over and everything else. And this is what they said about Travis Hunter on his draft profile. And Lance Zierlein is the guy that does most of these, and he's the guy that did this one. And he had sources at the end. And then, Dano, this is interesting. The AFC executive who was quoted anonymously, you don't play a guy full-time at receiver and then part-time at corner. He's a lot more valuable as a cornerback who plays 8 to 10 snaps a game at receiver. Well, that's not what Andrew Berry has said about the guy. Might not be what Andrew really meant, but that's, you know, he said, we see him as a wide receiver. Is that a concern? I don't know. Now, Jake, this is for you. NFC personnel director. He's the best receiver in this class, and then there's a big drop-off. He's comparable to last year's big three, Malik Nabers, Marvin Harrison, Roma Dunze, in my opinion. Now, if you can get a guy like that, that's the kind of guy that can change an offense, even at 6 foot, 188 pounds.
See, the thing that scares me about the Browns, and this is why I am more Abdul Hunter than I am Abdul Carter than I am Travis. Yeah, we're just all over names. I'm more Abdul Carter than I am Travis Hunter.
Yeah.
Because I think as a 3-14 team trying to figure out what you're doing at quarterback, get more wins on the board next year. The thing about Travis Hunter is you can look at him and say he's a better corner than he is a wide receiver, which is the way that I look at it. You could say he's a better wide receiver than he is a corner. He makes more impact on that side of the ball. Reality is that kid wants to play both. And I don't know. I don't think he can do it full-time.
Can you do that at the NFL level? That's the catch.
I don't think full-time, but I think he wants to play as much on both sides as he possibly can. I think a lot of people would look at even a baseball player like Ohtani, and they're like, can you really dedicate as much time pitching as you do to hitting and be good at both?
Ohtani, very few ever have.
But a couple can, right?
Yeah.
And if you think that Travis Hunter is the one of one, the one of few of the guys who can play meaningful amount of snaps at corner and wide receiver and do it well, which he's been doing in college for quite some time. Again, it's a different level. Like, that's sort of the game changer. Now, I don't think the Browns have the time to dedicate to navigating that winding road that's going to be, well, can we really do this? Are we playing him too much? What side of the ball do we prioritize him on? Like, that seems like too much to me if a team's trying to win next year, which is everything that they tell us is that they're trying to win next year. If you're not, then yeah, sure. Like, take that swing. Then it doesn't bother me. You do both. Scary.
Can I give you the hard sell on Travis Hunter?
Yep.
Go for it.
Matt Miller of ESPN hopped on with the morning show this morning, breaks down drafts, been doing it for a very, very long
time.
He's
good at it.
Yep. We got a little bit of Anthony's question in the beginning of this just to help kind of set it up. Listen to this sell.
A buzz term right now that has become fashionable is generational talent. And that one's interesting to me because if Travis Hunter at wide receiver, let's just say, I know you're actually open to him doing both. How many generational wide receivers are there?
Yeah, that term is overused. It really, really is. Special is a better word. And I'm with you. Like, Jamar Chase is, I think, the highest grade I've ever put on a receiver prospect. We just had Marvin Harrison Jr. last year, who was really close. We're going to have Jeremiah Smith in 2 years, who's going to blow both of them out of the water. So, yeah, I mean, we shouldn't use that term. Same with Ashton Jeanty. I don't think we should use that term. Travis Hunter, if he's primarily a wide receiver, I think he can be a top five wide receiver in the NFL pretty early in his career within his rookie contract. I would say the same if he was playing corner primarily. And I think that's what makes him a generational player, is that we're actually having a conversation about, and I said this on television last week, he might be Odell Beckham Jr. on offense and Denzel Ward on defense. And you just have to decide how you want to split those snaps up. Like, I've never seen someone with his ability to do both at such a high level. And that doesn't mean those guys didn't exist. It's just they didn't have the opportunity, right? So that's what makes him unique and special, is that how well he played both sides at a high level. Like, I mean, I'm old enough to remember Charles Woodson and Champ Bailey in college. You know, we saw other guys try to do a little bit of both, like Adoree Jackson, Jabril Peppers, but no one did it like he has. And I think that's where you get the generational label.
That's a stunning comment from Matt Miller. That's really big. Now, how do you divide up those snaps? And does dividing up those snaps, take this the right way, does dividing up those snaps diminish his value one way or the other? Like, do you want a part-time wide receiver and a part-time corner? Or do you want a guy who's a flat-out beast at one or the other?
I think it depends on if he's in, as Matt put it, Odell and Denzel on either side of the ball.
That's unbelievable.
Like, it doesn't matter the way you split them up, right? Like, if you have Denzel Ward on the field for 50% of the snaps, you're better for those 50% of the snaps than you're not every single time. Doesn't matter. And if you replace it on the other side with Odell, your team's better. Like, on offense and defense, if you put him in the most critical points on both sides of the ball, then you're winning that game. I just don't know how you get to both sides of that in navigating it right and getting him to play at both of those levels with split time.
All right, let me bring up something else here, and it's this. I've long campaigned for the Browns to add to their receiving talent. Last year, let me give you this number. 9 catches, 99 yards, 2 touchdowns. 11 catches, 75 yards, 1 touchdown. 8 catches, 47 yards. Those were the first 3 games for Cedric Tillman with Jameis Winston starting at quarterback. All of a sudden, Cedric went from a guy who we thought, well, maybe one day Cedric's going to become something for us. And Jameis, with all of his faults, got him the football and turned him into something. And he played well. Elijah Moore. We were looking for Elijah to do some things, weren't we? You know, since he's been here.
Traded him for a second round pick.
12 catches, 85 yards. Excuse me, targets. He put up numbers with Jameis Winston, a quarterback. 8 catches, 111 yards. A quarterback turned the receivers into better players than the other quarterback did. Does that diminish the value of Travis Hunter at wide receiver? I don't think so. But see, this is where the Browns are going to have a real decision to make. And what do they do with it? That's the question to me, Jake. What do you do? Because it's, to me, it's surefire, flat out, easy. Abdul Carter across from Myles Garrett, done, have a dominant defensive line. That's easy. Travis Hunter comes with some questions and some, not complications, but just some like, wow, this could be really good if we make it work.
Yeah, it's the if you make it work. And I think Abdul Carter comes with his own questions too, right? On a much different
level.
Yeah,
I think that's true. I think that's true. Yeah.
But I just think Travis Hunter offensively, the quarterback doesn't matter that much to me because you look at the way that Colorado's offense was structured. I'm not going to say it was structured similarly even to Kevin Stefanski's offense, but in the way that you're going to get your playmakers the ball, like a lot of screens because they didn't have a run game, so you ran a lot of short passes, and it was, hey, let's give them the ball in space, which there's no denying the athleticism.
Yeah,
like that's going to translate to the next level. If that's what you're worried about, you can sort of put that one away. They'll get him the ball. He'll have an impact on offense. I don't know that quarterback's the biggest issue because I think Jameis, too, probably compared to a normal quarterback, might have inflated some of those numbers, right? Probably takes a lot more risks, probably throwing the ball a lot more with Jameis than you normally are with any other quarterback. So you're probably somewhere in the middle. I don't know that it diminishes it just by Jameis being what he was.
I had the wrong numbers on Tillman. I gave you the targets, the receptions. Yeah, I know. I wanted to catch myself. 8 catches, 81 yards, 7, 99 yards, 6, 75 yards. In other words, he produced.
We'll get it fixed.
Thank you very much, and we just did. Which is the way that we do it. Scott Petrak covers the Browns for the Chronicle-Telegram. His gut feeling after everything that happened in Colorado with all of the reporting, all the scuttlebutt that's going on now, what does Scott think? And what about that whole notion about getting both and trading back up? We're going to get into that with Petrak next, right here on The Fan.